If you'd like to read with us in St. Luke, the second chapter, very familiar passage of Scripture, especially this time of the year. But, you know, I'm afraid too many times people think of what God has done, what the Lord gave, and they forget to remember that you and I have something that we should be anxious to give unto the Lord. And yet, so many times, you know, people in their life today, all you got to do is listen to some tragedy that happens around the world, and people can open up their pocketbook and they're ready to give money. But when it comes to living the way that God said to live, we're not ready to give that unto God. And, you know, God makes some requirements in the Bible of Christian people that we're to deny ourselves. And, you know, it doesn't do me a whole lot of good if I take my last dollar and I give it to somebody to help them if I would not be obedient unto what God said and would not give of myself unto the Lord. Because when we stand before God, all that we've given to help the poor and all of this, that's well and good. But that poor person is not the one that's going to be judging us. It's how we lived their life before God. What did we do with the life that God gave us here to live, and how did we use it to bring honor and glory unto Him? But if you'd like to read with us, here in the second chapter of St. Luke, starting with the 7th verse, says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloth, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Now, here Mary was a woman that had found favor in God's sight, and because of that, God had chose her to bear His Son. And this was a time of great rejoicing. As here, you know, I've tried to picture that many times in my mind, how quiet it must have been at that time out there on the hill with the sheep as they was asleep in the night. And as these shepherds was watching over it, sitting there, and just the stars shining down upon them, but then all at once an angel appears and begins to speak unto them. And then a heavenly host, a multitude that came singing. How wonderful that must have been, and what a time that they must have been experiencing there. And all of that because God was so happy to give His Son unto the human family. For what God that seemed they were going to do to Him, but yet God was willing to give Him, knowing that was our only hope, our only choice, to receive such a wonderful gift, the very Son of God. You and I today, it would be a wonderful thing if we could find a president or a king or a ruler in the world today that their family was really willing to give of themselves to help people. You'll find you in the royal family of England a lot of times. They go out, some of the children, or some of the offspring, and they go out and do some charitable work. And all they make the biggest deal of it, as if it's really something. But you'll see, that person they go out, they're still living in royalty. They don't deny
that he denied himself, the cause for you and I, a gift that we can never even begin to imagine, to our life is over when we live it for the Lord and we get to go where he is. Then we'll begin to understand what it was God denied himself, the cause,
and to give such a gift unto us. But you'll find in America today, people think whatever we offer to the Lord, God should accept. But you'll find one place in the Bible, God spoke about them bringing in the crippled and the diseased and the things like that and offering it to God. And he said, in other words, take it to your ruler. Take it to those that's over you. Offer it to them and see if they'd be pleased with it. But yet they would come and offer that to God. Well, you look at what we're offered to God today of ourselves. We don't have time to go to church and serve God. Anything that comes, that's an excuse for us to be a service at church. And it makes no difference what it is. I know years ago, men that was supposed to be leaders of the church, but when it comes near season, marriage season, or whatever it might be, they would leave church and go all to go to the mountains to hunt. Why? Before, oh, they enjoyed that so much. They saved up all year long to be able to get out with their money and to go hunting. But where was that special then that they seen it going to the house of God each week to live that life before their children, that their children would say there's some things in life that means so much to them that he's not willing to do anything that would hinder him from being able to go to the house of the Lord. But these children that I look back over there, some men that did that, where's their children today? They're out in the face of the world. They're not in church. Why? It was not something that was instilled into that child.
That we deny ourselves and give ourselves unto the Lord, presenting that present to God.
You know, a lot of people, they'll come to church, and when the offering plate goes around, and I'm a firm believer we need to pay our tithe. But the offering plate goes around and they put 10% in and they think, oh boy, I've really done something. I paid my tithe. Yeah, and that's what we owe to God. And even if we go above that and we give more than that, that's good. But that was that God blessed us with already. Every bit of that belonged to God before it come to you and to me. God was the one that sent it that way. What is it that I have today that I can truly give God? That's mine and mine alone. That's my heart, the life that I live. I can present that to God as a gift of joy. What was it for me to do with that? As I please, and it belongs to me. God made me a free moral agent. I can choose myself whether I want to live for God or not. You and I today, that's the only thing that we have to give unto God is old self. I can't give my children. I can lay them on the altar and say, God, they're yours. You do with them as you see fit. But once they get to be the end of accountability, they have that choice themselves what they want to serve God or not. And I can't do a thing about it. You and I today, we can still give ourselves unto the Lord, and that be a decision that we do gladly. You know, you'll find in the Bible it said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's not saying I went above and beyond. He said, that's your reasonable service. you and I until we've done that. You look at Paul's life. Paul, in all that he's done, and Paul, his life, it means so much to me. Because every time the devil tried to make me think that something come my way in life that I shouldn't have to bear, that there's no reason for it, that it's just impossible for a person to have to bear something like that and still keep a smile upon their face. I go back and read the life of Paul and say, none of us can suffer anything in comparison to what the men of God suffered in the Bible. Yet Paul was still present himself totally unto God each and every day. He was sitting around saying, woe with me. But Paul was there saying, I'm ready for my life to be over before God. Why? I give it to God a long time ago. It's in His hand. If they take my life, it belongs to God. It's not mine. I'm not going to back down anymore. The job that God has given me to do, I'm a God. I surrender myself unto God, and it belongs to you. And you and I, we need to live the same way. Why? Because such a joyous time there when Christ was born. The angels come and singing. The shepherds just rejoicing. The whole world seemed to be just shouting the praises of God, rejoicing because of what God had done. And God seeing that very time, just a little over 33 years, just what that child goes through. And what a sad time when he was there on Calvary hanging. That same little child, so many people, they'll talk about it at Christmas time, and they even, this day and time, want to get rid of anything about Christ at Christmas. But even though they recognize, they talk about, oh, what a wonderful time the Christ child was born. But that child, when he was born, he'll find the old man of God in the church. When he come in, they bring him in. When he was only 8 days old, sitting there at the entry, waiting to see the glory of God. When he looked upon the child, he said, I can die now, because my eyes have beheld it. When he turned to Mary and let her know, this child is there for a fall. You say, oh no, not the Son of God, but he was born for that purpose. When the woman said of God, give him unto you and I to do with as we please. And what did the world do? They slaughtered him worse than an animal. Why, because they could find any fault with him. He was righteous, and they couldn't tolerate that. So they decided that they would destroy. And what a sad time when the Heavenly Father, when he must have been looking down with such a smile upon his face that night when Christ was born. But there on Calvary, he had to turn his back upon him to let him die there alone for me and for you. Then you and I today, the same question is presented to us that was presented there to Pilate. What will you do with Christ? What will you do with him? It's up to you. Will you give him your heart and life? Will you truly live for him? Or is your decision anything that I can do to justify myself? I'm not going to church. It's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a reason. I'm looking for an excuse. I'm trying to justify some way or another for me to sit at home. For me not to go and testify. For me not to witness for the Lord. For me not to stand up and be upon it, be a peculiar,
Why? Because I want to be here. I don't want anybody to think bad of me. You and I today, we need to be concerned about not what God says, but about what God knows about it. God don't think anything about you. He knows about you. You know, when you think something, that's not necessarily something that you 100% sure of. But God, when He looks at each one of our lives, He knows exactly what we are. He knows whether we're really right in His sight, whether we've given ourselves unto Him,
or where we're holding back. And you know, Mary and Joseph, there, though Mary knew that this child was special because how that he was conceived, but all of this that began to happen from his birth on, they looked upon and marveled and just pondered it in their heart. What could this be? What's going to become of this child? You and I today, we can look, and you know, man would love to. I know the Muslims don't want to think of Christ as being anything. They don't want to think of the Jews as being anything. They don't want to think of people that worships the true and living God as being anything. But you and I, we're going to come face to face with that same Christ that was born there in the manger. That same one that died there on Calvary and rose again. And He's coming back, according to the Bible, and to me and you, if we live for Him. And it makes no difference how many devils in the world try to do away with it. It makes no difference how many of the Muslims have said that there's no truth to it. It makes no difference how many of the Hindus said that that's the wrong way to go. You can choose anything you want to, but Christ proved right while He was here that He was the Son of God. Why? Everything that was spoken about it in the Old Testament, He fulfilled. They was only one that was born of a virgin, and that was Christ, the Son of God. God made it plain. They was only been one that the angel come saying, "You'll find Him in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He is the Son of God." They only been one that they were the heavenly host come singing glory to God in the highest. They only been one that rose from the dead. Come on, you and I, we better kneel before that one. Surrender all unto Him. Give our life unto Him as our gift of the God. Because if we don't, we'll stand before Him and wish we had. You can't buy the gift that God wants from you. He paid for that. You can just give it unto Him. He's already bought it and paid for it. But will you give it to me? Each and every one of us today, God, seeing that we was more special than even I see myself as, God seeing you more special than you see yourself as, if you're honest. There's a lot of people, I realize, in life cannot deny theirself anything. They can't recognize that they don't deserve. You know, I've heard so many people talk about, especially here in America, they act like we're entitled to a certain lifestyle. We're entitled to it. We're not entitled to it. God may allow us to live a lot better than most of the world gets to live, but it's not that we're entitled to it. God has richly blessed us because our forefathers recognized Him, set this country up,
recognizing God as being the ruler, the supreme. You and I today, our country is turning and going from that, and we're paying the price. All you got to do is see the crime all across America. Do you realize you can go back and start and mark it when they went taking Bible and prayer out of school, when the kids quit learning about it, even if they didn't hear about it at home, when they quit learning about the true things of God and how that He had a hand in the history of this country, when they quit teaching those things, the crime rate started going up. You'll find the vulgar, those just vile lies started going up in America. But I can remember back in the 50s in school being taught about how George Washington, the father of our country, how he recognized God, and even when he was in battle, how he was fired up on Point Blank in the Indian Sea. They were missing, but yet the bullets were having no effect upon him, and he decided he's a man that God said is upon, and they wouldn't fire upon him anymore. And George Washington, when he took his coat off, bullets fell out of his coat. What do you mean? But no damage done to it. Why, God had a plan for this country. You and I today, they might not teach that to our children, but God still remembered, and He still required you and I to recognize Him and to give of ourselves all that we can and have to the Lord. And that means each and every day of our life to live it for the Lord. Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. Christ come and became that sacrifice for me and for you. In His life, all that He lived, when He come down time for them to crucify Him, they could not find one fault in Him. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. And he washed his hands in a bowl of water and said, I'm innocent of this man's blood. But water does not cleanse that blood of Christ off from you and me. We need to have it applied. We're not innocent of our blood. If we have sin in our life, the only way to come before God and be judged innocent and righteous is to come before Him, repent of our sin, present ourselves to God, giving Him all that we have, that we might be acceptable in the eyes of God. God come there as a baby lived His life for 33 years and all the 6 months, living it there for you and I, that we might see and know. No matter what the devil said, you can live a life above sin if you choose to, and surrender unto God. Temptations will still arise and still come, but you can find the strength with those temptations to resist and to follow God if you want to. Each one of us, we live here at Christmas 2005, the year almost gone. And can we look back over just this year and say, I've given of myself to the Lord this year the way God wanted me to? Or have we denied God what we should have been given to Him freely? Have we resisted the things that God has asked of us? You know, there's a lot of people that has worked hard to have money to buy presents for their family, their friends, their loved ones. And you know the sad part about it? Most people knows of somebody that give them a gift in their lifetime that
they would just as soon never even have seen. They've received a gift that they would have never have thought of giving that to anybody. But somebody thought it was something you needed or something you'd appreciate. You know the thing about it? That person that give it, if they truly give it out of love, they was looking to expect to see an excitement, a gladness on your part to receive it. You realize God kept the world there. It was so precious. It was beyond anything that could be described. God had every right to look down and see the world rejoice with great gladness and embrace everything that God had asked and said. Why? Because He gives so much. It cost Him so much for you and I to have that opportunity to be able to be born again, to be able to be forgiven of our sin, cleansed up, made a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's something God gave us to it. And it cost Him a tremendous amount. He had every right to see joy and happiness in our faith. But where is that joy today? Where is that peace? Where is that happiness? It's because we're not giving unto the Lord of ourselves. We're saying, God, I believe Your Son coming down. But Lord, You must take me like I am. Not the way You want me to be, or what that I can become. But Lord, take me the way that I am and let me go to heaven. But God is telling the human family, no. You must come the way that I said. Why? The scripture says if you try and come any other way, you try and climb up any other way, you're the same as a thief and a robber. Christ said, I am the door. I don't care what preacher you say I was converted under. I don't care what big evangelist. I don't care what God you walked about before. All of them are nothing if it does not go through and by the Son of God. Why? Christ said, I'm the door. That big evangelist, you might praise him for leading you to the Lord. He was just doing what was required of him. He deserves no praise, no honor. Why? Because Christ is a woman that does it all. Christ is the one that deserves all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And you today, if you have not bowed before God, and I don't care what faith that you might call yourself, I don't care what God that you pray to, before who you bow to, what direction you face it when you bow, if you never bowed today before Christ, and ask for forgiveness, I beg you today, come down before it, lay yourself down the altar before God, and pray the prayer, Lord, I need you today, because I'm in sin, my heart is not right with you, Lord, I give all that I've got unto you, and that's me right now, if you will, you can find it. God will forgive you of your sin and even of the many times that you may have bowed your knee to some idol and worshiped. God is able to forgive you of that. Why? He did back in the Bible. There was many of them in the New Testament when they come to the Lord and worshiped other gods. But Christ come to seek and to save whosoever will. He put no limits on it. You and I today, if we're in sin and we know we're in sin, Christ died for you. That man that can't see himself lost, Christ's sacrifice will never do him any good. First, we must recognize that we're a sinner and on the road to hell before we can bow our knee before Christ and get forgiveness. While we sing some song, what's in your heart today? Have you truly give yourself to the Lord? Christ, He came as a babe and lived His life, given all unto the human family that we all might have a chance. He lived His life denying all of the wonders that He has experienced as God. Come, think of it. Oh, how degrading the kings around the world would look upon it if their child had to be born into a stable somewhere or another. Just the smell of the stable. I've never been into a barn that smelled good. Why? Because that odor just seems to penetrate everything. You can clean it out, but the odor is still there. You'll find this table where Christ was at. It has the smell of animals and they're dropping. But the Son of God come down there low for me and for you. Then He went down to Calvary, carried it across the world. His strength was gold, and He fell beneath it, unable to carry it any farther. So they compelled another man to carry it. But when He got to Calvary, He didn't have to climb to that cross, but He laid down on it willingly. Why? No man takes my life, but I lay it down. Why? Because it took that for me and for you. While we sing, will you come, bow your knee before God and ask for forgiveness, giving Him the only thing you've got to give Him, and that's you. Will you come? While we sing one verse, if you're not willing to give God your whole life, totally, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, every day that you live, if you're not willing to give that to God, the sacrifice that God gave will do you no good. You must be willing to give it, because if you don't, when you stand before Him, He said, I'll deny you. Each and every one of us, I beg you, don't lose sight here at Christmas of the greatest gift that was given to the human family. But also don't lose sight of what God is wanting from you. And that's you. You know, you can give all that you earned this last year, drop it in an offering plate, and save nothing for yourself. But if you did not give God your heart, you're still wretched, poor, beggar, naked. But do you realize, if you give your heart to the Lord, and you don't have a dollar, you're a rich man. Why? Because you have treasures in heaven that the eyes of this world cannot begin to imagine what they look like until we get there.